Hi, my name is Don Wibier and I'm Technical Evangelist with DevExpress. I'd like to show some really cool technology to you, which is called DevExpress Persistent Objects, alias XPO. So what is XPO? XPO is an object relational mapping tool. And for all of you not totally familiar with the concepts of object relational mapping, let me give you a really quick recap. We as developers like to work with in-memory objects and collections of objects. But once we need to persist that data, we have to get into a database or some other persistent media. In most scenarios, we'll be dealing with a relational database management system. And well, why we like to work with link queries and all kinds of algorithms to select items out of collections, we have to perform SQL statements on the other side to get that information out of the database and vice versa. An ORM is a bit of a bridge in between. So on one end, we are able to just use our favorite language, which will be C# or VB. And at the other end, the ORM will translate our operations into SQL statements. There are a couple of other things that an ORM does. For instance, change tracking, it does some caching, and it does transaction management as well. In ORM terms, this is called a unit of work. And if we want to perform an update on a set of objects, we can do that within the scope of a unit of work. And until we commit that unit of work in C# or VB, only then the database will be accessed and the appropriate SQL statements will be executed on the database system. So there are a couple of ORMs out there, and probably the most familiar one with you will be Entity Framework. So you might wonder, why use XPO? Well, first of all, it is a very transparent and controllable ORM, and that means that you can actually influence the SQL being generated and executed on the server. It also is cross-DBMS. XPO for the .NET framework supports more than a dozen different databases, and that varies from Microsoft SQL Server to Postgres to even Oracle and others in between. For .NET Core, we are able to support 5 databases at this stage, and that is because the providers for the other database backends are not yet available for .NET Core. As soon as they are released, we'll support those database systems as well. It is also cross-platform. We started developing XPO on the .NET framework, and it was pretty easy to get it going on Mono as well. And in the past, we even supported a couple of other .NET flavors with XPO. And now with .NET Core, we'll be true cross-platform. XPO also works with existing databases. So if you have an existing data model, maybe a huge one, and you want to get into object relational mapping, we provide you with the tools which will create persistent classes for existing entities in the database. And another nice thing specifically with existing databases is the support for stored procedures and views. Maybe you have put quite some business logic inside stored procedures, etc. Well, you don't need to redo it. You can just call those same stored procedures from within XPO. Besides link, we have a couple of other mechanisms to get data out of the database, and this is a very powerful object-oriented querying language. It means that you can specifically do complicated, normally it will be complicated to do such a query on SQL, and you'll see that the querying language that we have makes it way easy to get the results. We also have some mechanisms for advanced customizable caching techniques to make your application even more performant as it already is. And the last thing which is interesting is that we have set up XPO in a way that it is ready for distributed architectures. So that means that we have a concept called a remote data layer. And that means that the actual data layer is on your server application, and you'll have a client which doesn't have a direct connection with the database or whatsoever, but it will go over OData or some other protocol to the server data layer, and you have a distributed application. The last two points I won't cover in this introduction, but it's good to know that we have that. So let's see what we can do with XPO and how this actually works on .NET Core. I'm going to demo a couple of things. The first thing is how to connect to a data store. Next, I will define a couple of entities, and I will next show you how to do CRUD operations on those entities. So I'll be doing updates, deletes, and some querying as well. I'll now switch over to my development machine, which is a Linux-based machine, and I'll get started with a small console application to show you how XPO works. All right, let me switch over to my Linux environment and start creating a small console application by using the .NET Core CLI. And once the console application has been created, I can add a package, which will be the SQLite data package, because we'll be working with SQLite as well as SQL Server. And once that is added to the project, I'm going to add another package, which will be DevExpress XPO. With this in place, I can open up the main program file and first change world to XPO, get the required assets, and restore the packages. And with this in place, if we run the application, it's clear what it will do. So the first step will be connecting to the data store, and for that we'll need to instantiate a data layer. And we have several kinds of data layers shipped with XPO. Because we are dealing with a console application that will be a single-threaded application, we can also use a very simple data layer. For web applications, we have other data layers, and I'll get to that in the next demo. But let's start with the data layer, which is going to be used in this console application. What is interesting to mention is that we'll pass in a connection string to SQLite in this particular scenario, and we are specifying an auto-create option, because yes, XPO is able to adjust the database schema to a certain extent once we start adding entities or adding properties on those entities. Before we are able to run the application, we need to include a couple of namespaces here. And well, at this stage, the application will not do a lot because it is just instantiating the data layer and connecting to the data store. So let's define an entity as well. And let's stick to the entities that are more or less put up in the slide deck earlier. I'll start with an order class, and I'm going to add a couple of order entities in this data store. Here we have the order class, and if you look closely, it is derived from XP object. There are other means of defining persistent entities, but we would recommend using one of the XP object classes as a base class. And the constructor will need a session, which is basically the connection to the actual data store. I talked about the unit of work earlier. The unit of work is like a more advanced session type, and you'll see that once we're going to add some entities to the store, that I will be using a unit of work to add several orders in one go. Let's add a property here as well. So that would be a field basically in the table. And that is being done by just declaring a property like any other property, with one interesting thing to mention here. That is, the setter will execute the set property value, which triggers the change notification. And this is something which comes with the XP object implementation. So that's why it is convenient to use one of those base classes. So now we have defined a really simple entity and we can now start adding some to the database. And for that, I will be using a unit of work. And the way that this works is basically I can just actually use a using statement. And everything within this scope will only be persisted if I execute this command. Well, how are we going to add items to the store? Now that is as simple as instantiating a new object of the type order, passing in the unit of work, set the properties, and after the commit changes, it will be there. Let me add a second order as well. And once we have this, let's see what happens if we run the application. All right, we get some information here, but if we scroll a bit to the top, we'll see that Hello XPO has been executed, so the application has run. What we can do now is look in a little database tool which is able to manage SQLite files. And just let's do that by going to the folder where I put my application in. Well, what you see here is the contents of the SQLite database, and what is nice that there are a couple of fields which are part of the infrastructure of XPO, but more important, we have an order number here of type int. If I browse the data, then we'll see that the two orders that I've added by code are persisted in the database. So let's add some more to this system. I can now start adding some more properties to this order object, and I'll do two properties. One will be the order date and one will be a client. In a real world application, a client would probably be an object as well, but for this demo, I'll just put it as a string, like this. I put an order date in as well of the type date time. And again, I'm using the set property value here. So let's expand the data population. So we'll have that information in there as well. And that can be done, for instance, by adding the following properties here. And I'll do that for order 2 as well. I'll give it a slightly different date, like this. If I now run the application again, and I go back to my database management tool, We'll see that the table already has been changed. The fields have been added. In this scenario, I have just added two other orders with one and two. And with these orders, the appropriate values have been set as well. But let's make it a bit more interesting and set up a second table in the database and relate the two. So we have the order table and we have the order items table. And let's see how that works. So let me get back to the demo application and insert one other piece of code because you see that the database is now getting a bit fractured. Some data is there, some data is not there. I'm gonna clear the database before we run the demo. So let's define another entity of the type order item, and I'm gonna paste the code in one go. It is pretty much the same as what we already did. And to save a bit of time, I will just paste it in. So what have I done? I have included another class. It's got that same constructor. And there is one interesting thing to mention here because I have, besides the standard properties, quantity, description, and a unit price, I have also added a property of the type order, where I also put an attribute on top of this property with an association. Because an order item should belong to an order, and vice versa, an order should have a collection of order items. So to have that association work, we need to add something in the order table as well. And the way that that works is pretty straightforward. I can put in a collection of order items, just like this. Except it's not a normal collection, it is an XP collection of the type order item. And it's got a method, the XP object has a method which will retrieve it out of the database. The interesting part here is that the association has the same name like this. And now we have created a second entity and we can actually add some more sample data. So now we can start adding order items to the demo. Well, how can we add those order items so they will be related to the appropriate order? We can do that in two ways. For instance, I have the order one, and I can add a number of order items to the collection of order one. So in this case, I'm accessing the order items, and I'm adding a new order item, and I'm setting the properties just like this. I could also do it the other way around. So if I would add another item to this order, I could use just a new order item, and I'm gonna set the order property that comes with the order item. Well, to make this demo complete, I'll put in a couple of order items on order two as well. Just like this. If I now run the application and go back to my database management tool, you'll see a couple of interesting things. So if I would go to the database structure here, we'll see an order table, we'll see an order item table, and if I would go to the data tab, we'll have the information that we coded in. And more interesting here, if I select the order item, you will see that there is a field called order which holds a reference to the specific order. So in this case, everything is relational setup in the database as well. Well, let's finish off this small demo application and then move on to another demo by switching over to another database backend, something which works really awesome in XPO. The only thing that we need to do for this is go back to the top of our application, and if I would comment this one out and put in a slightly different initialization routine for the store, I will only have another connection string. And in this case, my SQL Server has been set up here. It's got a test user, it's got a test 123 password, and this will be the database name. Well, let's see what happens if we run this application. All right, application has run. Now I need to switch over to something which allows me to manage my SQL Server. In this case, what you see here is I've scaled it in a bit so you'll have a better view on this Object Explorer. If I refresh the database, you'll see that my XPO DemoDB has been added. And if I expand the tables here, you'll see that we have an order table with the information posted in my code, and we have an order item table which is looking exactly the same as the one that we did in SQLite. And this is obviously a very cool feature that comes with XPO. So you just saw how simple it is to get started with XPO in a simple console application. Let's take it a step further by integrating XPO in an MVC application. And for this, I've switched over to a Windows environment. We could have done it with the Linux environment as well. But what I did is I have created a new MVC application by using the .NET CLI. I've given the command .NET new MVC. That will result in a project which is similar like this, except for the fact that I have included a number of things in the project. Let me get over those additional items really quick. First, I have added DevXtreme as a package to the application because I want to use the data grid which comes with DevXtreme. I'll show you a bit more about that later. Next, I have added the XPO packages, obviously, the NuGet package, which I also did for the DevXtreme one. And I have included two persistent classes, which I've placed in a persistent folder. One is the order class, the same one that we used in the console application, except that I put it in a separate file. And I've put the order item in, again, a separate file. Next, I have added some boilerplate code because I want to do a couple of things here. We need to initialize the data layer, and I want to do that by using the dependency injection which comes with ASP.NET Core. So for that, I have a static class which does a couple of things. One of the things that it does is it will create the data layer. And in this case, I will be using a thread-safe data layer. With the console application, we were using a standard data layer, but since we are now dealing with a multi-threaded application, it's a server application, we need to be using a thread-safe data layer. And the reason for that is The application can deal with several requests at the same time, and we don't want XPO to mix up objects, etc., etc. What I also did is I will set up a pooled connection, so I will create a database, a pool with database connections, so we'll have a very performant application which is able to handle lots of traffic at the same time. And with this in place, we are pretty much done with this boilerplate code. What I furthermore did, I added a unit of work method, which will return a unit of work. And I have also created another method, which will create some demo data. And that is pretty much what you will need with every application which uses XPO, maybe except for the demo data. What I also did, I have added an extensions class for the dependency injection. And you'll see that I will be able to inject a number of things in the startup CS file, which will only create one singleton instance of the data layer. And for all the controllers in the application, we will inject at runtime, we'll inject a unit of work that we can use to do our data access through XPO. One of the other things that I've added is a so-called XPO contract resolver. The reason that I use this contract resolver is because if we would serialize an XPO object or an XPO entity to JSON or XML, it will also emit a number of properties that we don't want to have. So basically, there are a couple of references to the infrastructure of XPO, and we don't want to have that emitted. And also, we want to be able not to cause any looping to collections and parent objects, etc. So for this, I have added this contract resolver, which will only emit the properties that we want to have in the JSON or the XML. Well, let's get to the startup CS file and configure the dependency injection so it will create the pooled data layer. It will it's gonna inject the unit of works to the controllers, and we configure this contract resolver. Well, to get that going, we can configure the services in this method, and I'll start by setting up that data layer. And that method, that extension method, receives a connection string. So basically, we can determine to what kind of database we want to connect in this configure services method. So that's pretty easy to do. In this case, we'll be dealing with the SQL Server, the same database as we used in the console application. And well, it should be clear that if I change this to the other connection, then we can switch over to SQLite, for instance. I'll do that a bit later. All right, so with this in place, we now need to do the second step, which is we need to configure the application in a way that it will inject a unit of work into the controllers of the application. And because of the extension methods in the XPO extensions class, that's done by calling this method. The last thing I'm gonna configure in the services is the custom contract resolver. So we want to be able to hide a couple of properties and things from the JSON. And that is being done by calling the addJSON options. We'll pass in a new instance of the contract resolver, and with this we are pretty much ready to use XPO in a very similar way as you might be used to when using any other ORM. So that is like the initialization of the application. Let's go to the controllers folder. What I have done here, there is a home controller. It doesn't, I pretty much didn't change anything in this code. And the home controller is not a web API controller, but it is an MVC controller. So what that means is that we'll have a view as well. So if I go to home index.chtml, you'll see that what I've done is I've replaced the standard contents of the home page with a DevExtreme data grid. One of the things that you can do with DevExtreme data grid is you can specify that you want to communicate with a web API backend. The controller that I want to communicate with is the orders controller, and the load action is the get all. And with this in place, you already see in the project that I have prepared an orders controller. And this is just a regular .NET Core controller. And before we can actually use the dependency injection, we need to configure a couple of things here. So let's check what needs to be done. We want to inject a unit of work in this controller so we can access our data out of the database backend. And to have that working, we can actually implement a private member which will be a unit of work. And to have the dependency injection do his work, we need to have a constructor for this controller which will receive a unit of work. And this is basically all that is necessary to have the dependency injector inject one of those unit of works in our controller. Well, if we now go to the get all, that should retrieve a collection of orders in this case. So we can change the following code to something like unit of work query order. And what this does is it will query the database for all the orders and it will return it. And because of the contract resolver that we configured, it will return only the data that we want to use and will leave out all those properties and other things which belong to the infrastructure of XPO. So that is pretty straightforward. Let's also do the post method here. In this case, we're going to add a new item to the database. And what we can do now is, because we already have the unit of work configured, I can just instantiate a new order. And I can now use the JSON convert to populate that object. And this is the way, I mean, the grid, the DevExtreme grid passes in all the values that were sent over. And I can now say values into the order object. And to finish things off, I'll commit the changes in the unit of work. Just like this. Well, if we check out the put method will update an existing record. So what we can do here is we need to get that particular object out of the data store. And we can use the get object by key method from XPO for that. And the key is passed in as well as a parameter. And what we do now is pretty much the same as we did with the other max method. We can now actually say populate the object again and commit the changes. For the delete method, we'll do something slightly different here. I will still use the get object by ID because I first need to find that particular record that we want to delete. And I call the delete method in the unit of work. Last but not least, we still need to commit the changes because it's a transactional way of working here. And with this in place, we are able to use XPO in a web API or an MVC project, basically. If we are running the application you'll have something which looks like the following. So let me build the project and start up the web server and open up a browser. And what you see here is a grid with a number of orders. And because we implemented all the methods for CRUD operations, I am now able to click the edit function with the grid and change something here. So it isn't really a lot different from the console application, except that we have to use a thread-safe data layer, and we can use the dependency injection of the MVC infrastructure here. There is one thing that I'd like to point out. What you see here is a total amount for that order. And that is actually the total amount. How did I do that? Well, I have added a couple of properties, which is also a really nice feature of XPO, which are persistent aliases. And what is a persistent alias? Well, I mean, technically, the database backend should be able to calculate the amount, because the amount of an order would be the sum of the total price of all the order items. And that can be calculated by the database pretty easy. So how did I do that? Well, let's go back to the persistent classes here, and let's start with the order item. What I first did is I have added a property which is called price. And again, this is a standard procedure in XPO on how to do this. And what I did is I will call the evaluate alias and cast it to the correct type. And then the parameter here is the name of the property here. And the most interesting thing here is that I have put an attribute on top of this property, which will actually specify the calculation. And it will be the quantity times the unit price. So that means that all the items also have a total price, and that will be calculated on the server. What I have done with the order is something similar but slightly different. If I scroll down, I'll have a total amount here. And again, it is doing the evaluate alias on the total amount. That's the property that we are dealing with. And I convert it to the correct type. But look what I've done with the persistent alias. I have basically told I want to have the sum of all the order items on the field price. And this will result in that field that you saw in the grid with the total amount. So that is one of the other nice things which comes with XPO. You can actually define those persistent aliases which will be executed on the server. Well, the last thing of this web demo that I'd like to show is obviously change over to a different database. So if I go back to the startup file and I would change the connection string to something that you already saw. So let me go to the connection string here, remove that, and insert the SQLite connection provider with a connection string WebDB. From this moment, if I run the application, we'll be running on the web, on the SQLite database. And once the application boots up, you'll probably see in this file that the WebDB file has been added. If I switch over to my browser, and hit refresh, we are now on the SQLite database. For the last demo I'd like to show you, I've switched over to a Mac computer and I've started up Visual Studio for the Mac. In this demo I'm going to demonstrate how you can use XPO in one of your Xamarin applications and you'll have access to local storage with this. It pretty much works the same way as the other demos, and the only thing that I would like to mention here that this is local storage, so this doesn't have anything to do with online storage whatsoever. This is just to show you how simple it is to implement a local, for instance, SQLite database. So what I've done is I have created a project according to the project template, and with that I have added the DevExpress XPO package to the test.droid and the test.ios projects here. What I furthermore did is I have put some boilerplate code that you've already seen in the project, which will initialize the data layer. As you can see, I will be using a thread-safe data layer here because there could be several processes within the application. It will not be a pooled connection as with the web demo. What I also did is I've changed the entities that I'm going to persist, because I want to show you how it is without the use of the base classes. So in this case I will use the item type that was created by the project template, and I've decorated it with a couple of interesting attributes here. So this is a plain simple object, and I have decorated it with the persistent attribute, which comes from XPO. I've also decorated the ID field with a key, and I have decorated the size attributes on two of the text fields. And this will determine how the database will deal with these fields. One of the nice things with the demo is that the mock data store is actually a sample, and the whole application here, you can use the dependency injection to replace the mock data store with the XPO data store. What I have done here is I have created an empty class which implements the iDataSource interface, and if I implement this interface, you'll see that we need to implement the following methods, basically the CRUD methods. So to spare you a bit of time here, I will paste them in and you'll see that it is pretty much the same as what we had with the previous demos. So here is the entire implementation of this data store, and what you'll see is that I'm using a unit of work to locate, or to create in this case, a new item and store it through the unit of work save method. So instead of changing this item and do a commit changes, I will call the save method on the unit of work and then I'll commit the changes. If we take a look down the code, you'll see that this basically is everything that we do. So we'll be working with a plain object here, and by using the delete method from the unit of work, we'll register this object to the transaction, and with the commit changes it will be saved. And the same is happening with the other methods, so everything is being done through the unit of work. Okay, so I've created the data store. Let's go to the main file, because here the mock data store is registered by, through the dependency injector. So let's change this one to the XPO data store. That's the one we want to use. And before we can register this data store, we need to do a couple of things here, and that is, to start, we need to initialize the data layer. And the most easy way to do that is by first, in this case, I'm going to be working with the SQLite version. So we need to construct the location of the file name, and we need to compose a connection string, which is as simple as the following lines of code. And then we can just call the XPO helper init XPO, which receives the connection string as a parameter. So this is how we initialize the data layer again. We register the XPO data store. And there is one fallback mechanism that we might want to change here, and that is in the base view model. In case the data store is not to be found, I'll make sure that I have the XPO data store as a result here. And with this in place, we can actually run the application, and the data will be stored on local storage in an SQLite database. There is another thing that we can do, because we also have an XML provider, and that means that we can store the data in an XML file instead of SQLite, and that could obviously also be stored by on the local file system. Once the application has been deployed, you'll see that the Android emulator boots up the application, and it will now initialize XPO and store all of its items on the local file system. And yeah, with this demo, you'll see how easy it is to get started with persistent objects on all platforms being supported by .NET Core. I hope that you have a good idea on what you can do with XPO and how powerful it is. If you want to know more about XPO, visit our website devexpress.com/XPO. If you have any questions concerning XPO, you can contact me by by my email address as well as my Twitter handle. If you want to play around with the demos, check out my GitHub account and you'll be able to clone the repos and play around with it. Thank you for your attention.